Tonight we're going to start over in the book of Luke, chapter 15 tonight. I like hard preaching, you know, it's what I like tonight, but this is more of a lesson probably than preaching tonight, but we're going to go over to the book of Luke, chapter 15, and we're going to start there, because a lot of people today, they say, well, you know, who are the homeless here in America, and what should we be doing to help them, you know, today? So I've got a little message here on the homeless, who they are, what should we be doing as a church to reach out. But before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, just want to thank you once again for this great honor and privilege to be in your house tonight, Lord. And I just pray tonight, Lord, as I try to preach or teach, whatever you'd have me to do here tonight, Lord, just pray that you come down and speak the words to me tonight, Lord, for you are the preacher here tonight, Lord. I'm nothing tonight, Lord. Just pray that I could be used a willing vessel for your glory, be a help to this church, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd be with us and everything that's said and done here tonight, Lord. You get all the praise, all the honor, all the glory tonight, Lord. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. Thank you for this church. Thank you for this opportunity. Most of all, thank you for Jesus Christ dying upon that old rugged cross for us, Lord, so we didn't have to die and go to that place called hell. You've been so good to us, Lord. We're so undeserving. Just want to thank you for that blood. It still cleanses us of sin. We love you, and we want to ask you all these things in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. But a lot of times today, when we think about the homeless here in America, a lot of times we get a picture in our mind of maybe a drug addict or maybe a really bad person or somebody like that. But I'm going to start over here in the book of Luke, chapter 15 and verse 11. This is one of the main groups of people we run into out in the street. We're going to start here with Jesus speaking. Said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Well, you know, we know this story of this prodigal son. But this prodigal son today, this is a lot of times we run into a lot of prodigal sons out there today that are homeless, that are living on the streets. You know, a lot of people we run into today, they'll tell you that they believe that God put them in that situation either because they were saved and they tried to get outside of God's will, or maybe God put them there to open their eyes to realize that they needed Jesus, you know, today. But a lot of these prodigal sons that we run into, they're addicted to maybe drugs or alcohol or something like that. But you know, today, this is only about a third of the people who are homeless here in America. A lot of times we think about that drug addict or that one out there, but that's only about a third of the homeless population here in America. And a lot of times we don't think about the other ones who are living out there on the street. But you say, who are that? Who is the other ones that we're talking about? Like I say, we know this prodigal son. We know he got outside God's will. He basically told his father he wished he was dead. He was going to go live his life. He was going to party it up. He was going to have a good time. And he ended up down there in the hog pen. But you know, today, like I say, that's about a third of the people we run into. But who else is out there on the street today here in America? If you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 5. If you'll turn back with me to Mark chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 1. We all know this story very well. It said, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day was he in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So this man, you know, they tried to chain him up. They tried to bound him, but they couldn't do anything with him. This man was running around out there. He was naked, laying in those tombs. And, you know, it said that he cut himself. He would go around cutting himself and hurting himself. You know, this man today that we speak about that's laying in those tombs, what would we call this man today? If we ran into him, we'd say, well, that man is crazy. We'd say there's something wrong with him. He's got a mental issue. Well, you know, today that makes up, like I say, the first third of people that we run into on the streets is falling in that prodigal son category. But the second third, I like to talk about, we've got a lot of people today who are living out on the streets today who really just don't have the mental capability of taking care of themselves. They don't have the mental capability. And you say, well, why is that? Well, I don't know the whole reason for it, but I do know that in 1980, President Ronald Reagan discarded a law that proposed funding for federal community mental health centers. Basically, this eliminated services for people struggling with mental illness. This put a lot of people back out onto the streets that were once getting help. You say, what does that mean today? A third of all homeless people and 50% or more of people behind bars are struggling with some form of mental illness. And a lot of times today, here in America, you know, we want to say, well, that person, they can just go get a job. That person, they can just go do this and they can go do that. Let me tell you today, you don't know why that person is in the situation that they're in. You don't know why that person is there. That one today, that prodigal son we talked about, that one that's addicted to drugs. When he's on meth, go try to find a job addicted to meth. I'm going to tell you, we're so easy here in America to say, well, they can do this, they can do that. Today, we ought to have a heart for them. We ought to have a love for them. You know, today, I don't care what they smell like. I don't care where they come from today. They need to hear about Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you today that Jesus Christ could have looked down and said, Denny Mitchell deserves hell. That's what I deserve, is the devil's hell. So I don't want to think today that I'm too good to go tell somebody about Jesus Christ, to go share the gospel with them, because maybe they act a little different or smell a little different, or maybe they come from a different place. I'm going to tell you today, we ought to have a love for them. We ought to have a love. But you know, today, this makes up the second third. But you say, who are the other people that we encounter out on the streets? There's another group of people. If we go back to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, this is the one a lot of people don't really think about. But Luke chapter 10 and verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and fell among thieves. We stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto them, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So this man, he fell among the thieves, and he was beaten, and he was left half dead. Well, it said this priest came by, and this priest, you know, he did like a lot of people, like a lot of us would do today. He just passed by. It's not my problem, not my issue. He just passed by. And then all of a sudden, here came this Levite. He did the same thing. He passed by on the other side. He could have helped that man. But thank the Lord for that good Samaritan came by. That good Samaritan said he had compassion. Jude 22 said, and some have compassion, making a difference. We're to have that compassion. We need to have that love today for those ones that are struggling, those ones that are hurting today. But the point I want to make was, this man ended up robbed. He ended up half dead and beaten. And he ended up homeless. And you say, what are you talking about? The third people that we run into out on the streets today are just like this man in this story. They didn't really do anything to deserve to be there. They didn't do nothing, it just happened. It was just a circumstance that happened in their life. You say, what are you talking about today? There are so many people in America today that are living paycheck to paycheck. And it doesn't take long. You lose 3 or 4 paychecks and you're out sleeping under a bridge. You don't have somewhere to go. You're out in the woods. That's one of the reasons today. Another reason today, something we don't think about, what if you lose your ID in America? What if you have no ID? Who are you without ID? You know, we've run into people. I was up in Cincinnati. We had a resource clinic, and we went out the night before in the homeless camps downtown Cincinnati. I ran into a lady living under a bridge there in Cincinnati, around 40 years old. We went in and told her about the resource clinic, told her we had birth certificates. As soon as we mentioned something about birth certificates, her eyes lit up, and she broke down, and she told us her story. And she said she'd worked her entire life, and said that something happened in her life, and she had lost all of her ID. She had lost all of her important papers. She went to try to find a job without any ID. She couldn't do it. She went to the Social Security office. She said, I need a Social Security card. They said, you got to have a birth certificate to get a Social Security card. She said, well, how do I do that? They said, go to City Hall. So she goes to City Hall. They say, well, we don't do that here. So this lady had nobody to help her out. She had nobody to help her, so therefore she was living under a bridge. That's how easy it is today if we lose our ID, if we lose our job. You know, I ran into a man down in Chattanooga sleeping in an abandoned warehouse, a man 50-some years old, worked his entire life as a contractor laying pipe. That's all he's ever done is laid pipe. Doesn't have any other qualifications. He's 50-some years old. He lost his job. And because he lost his job at 50-some years old, when he goes to apply for a job laying pipe, a man 20 walks in. Who do you think they're going to hire? They're going to hire that man 20 years old. That man 50 years old, he ain't got a chance. He don't know how to do anything else. He's sleeping out there in an abandoned warehouse. That's how easy it is. We got bills today. A lot of people today, they spend more money than what they got. And it's easy to lose your home. It's easy to lose those things today. Not only that, what about today in America? You know, like I say, a lot of times we want to point our finger and say, well, they can do this, they can do that. Here in America, I've been blessed. The Lord's took care of me, but I've got many friends that I know. I've got many family members that I know that they moved out from mom and dad's house. And all of a sudden, something happened in their life, and they had to go back and count on mom and dad again. They had to go back home, and mom and dad was there to help them a little bit till they could get back on their feet, till they could get back out and take care of their bills. You see what he's saying? Here in America, there's a whole lot of foster kids. And you realize when these foster kids, a lot of times when they get 18 and they get put back out there in society, when they hit a rock bottom, when they have hard times, they don't have mom and dad to call to. They don't have anywhere to go except out to the streets. So today, I'm just trying to make these points today because it seems like in America, a lot of times, we've hardened our heart toward our own people and towards the homeless here in America. You say, what should we be doing today? What is it today that we should do? Why should we care? Well, if you turn with me to 1 John 3:17, 1 John 3:17 says, but whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, it says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? It says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, today, if we have no compassion for our brother out there today, we have no compassion. How dwelleth the love of God in him? You know, Jesus had compassion for us. Because if we're honest, every single one of us, we're just a sinner deserving hell. There's none of us today that's no better than that old harlot on the corner or that old drunk out there. There ain't none of us no better today than they are. We ought to have a compassion, a love in our heart. We get a lot of criticism. I hear it all the time. We go down there into jail, and I hear people say, well, them boys get what they deserve. I deserve hell. That's what I deserve. I want to have a love. I want to have a compassion for others. I don't care what they look like, what they smell like. I want to tell them about Jesus. Galatians 6:10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. But listen to this. Especially in them who are the household of faith. Especially in them who are the household of faith. You say, what are you getting at? You realize today we've got brothers and sisters in Christ today who are struggling. We got brothers and sisters in Christ today who are hurting. You know, every time I read this verse, I think about a night, about a year and a half ago, I was up with Brother Tim Crusenberry, a pastor there out of Bristol. We were up at a Maryland. We were up at a Walmart in Maryland late at night. We ran into a man 26 years old digging through a trash can trying to find something to eat. Well, this man had a disease to where his knees was messed up and he had to use two sticks to walk around with. Well, this man took us back to a spot when he was 19 years old and the Lord saved his soul. He took us back to that spot and told us that Jesus saved his soul, that he'd been born again. And he was a member of a church. And when he hit rock bottom, he told us, he said the church crowd that he counted upon to lift him up, to pray for him. He said they kind of stuck their nose up in the air and didn't even recognize him as a human being. You know, today it ought not be that way. It ought not be that way in America. We ought to have a love for everybody. But I'm going to tell you, I believe in America today, we've got that attitude a lot of times of the rich man. You say, well, why are you talking about that rich man? We know it said, in hell he lift his eyes. But that old beggar Lazarus, it said he laid outside the gate full of sores. But it said, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. That's kind of the attitude that we've got a lot of times in America. And you say, is that true? I'm going to tell you, when we find somebody out on the street today, and we find somebody that's wanting to get in a good Bible-believing church, do you know what one of the hardest things for us is? Finding a Bible-believing church that wants that person. Finding a Bible-believing church that wants that person. You know, we got a man pulls into a church parking lot driving a Jaguar, got on a nice suit. Doesn't matter what kind of lifestyle he lives, everybody wants to shake his hand, wants to welcome him into the building. But this man that was sleeping under the bridge last night got tattoos up and down both arms that don't smell too good, don't look too good. A lot of times we don't want him in our church. I'm going to tell you today, we ought to bring them in, tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them about the one that loved them today. We ought to have a love for that person today, just like everybody else. But today, it seems like we got that rich man attitude. And because of that, you know, the Lord's really opened our eyes in the last 2 or 3 years about what's really happening in America, about what's really taking place. Over in Psalms 37, in verse 14, says, the wicked have drawn out their sword and have bent down their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be in upright conversation. The wicked have drawn out their sword and bent down their bow to cast down the poor and needy. You know, when I read this verse, I think about we did a resource clinic in Winston-Salem, North Carolina this year. First time we did a clinic over in Winston-Salem. But we worked with Brother Eric Goff out of Lex Wynn Baptist Church in Winston-Salem. We went over and we went out in the homeless camps there in Winston. We went out on the streets and we tried to see what the need was in Winston-Salem when we put this clinic together. Well, Brother Goff was trying really hard to find a second church that would be willing to help us out with this resource clinic. Well, I go over one day and he said, Brother, he said, I'm going to show you why we can't find a second church that's willing to help us out. We got in a church van and we rode around. Well, over in Winston-Salem on the north side of town, they've been building nice shopping centers. They've been building nice homes, nice condos, all these nice things on the north side of town. But what has happened is all the poor and the needy have been pushed over to the south side of town where Brother Goff's church is. And he took me around. He said, I'm going to show you what's happened. A lot of the independent Baptist churches that used to be over on the south side of town have now shut their doors and moved over to the north side of town where the money is because they didn't want to minister to the poor and the needy over on the south side of town. You know, we finally found a second church, Southside Baptist Church. They partnered with us during this resource clinic. Well, Southside Baptist Church, the only reason that the doors are open, the pastor of that church is a missionary from Chile to America. He came from Chile to minister to Americans to keep that church door open. That's over in Winston-Salem, but it's not just happening in Winston-Salem. It's happening all around America. But you want to know what the bad part is? He took me around and showed me another church. Now, I don't know what denomination this church used to be, but this church is moving out of town, and their church building is now a Muslim mosque. Well, the Muslims over in Winston-Salem, they're growing really fast. They're growing very rapid over in Winston-Salem. It ain't just Winston-Salem. It's happening in other cities. I've talked to other pastors all around America today. And you say, well, why is that? If we study the Word of God, we'll see that Jesus went to the poor. Jesus went to the needy. That was His focus. That's who He went to today. But in America today, we've got more worried about the dollar bill today than we have the poor and the needy today in our country. And the Muslims have figured that out today. And they're going to our poor neighborhoods today. And they're recruiting people like crazy here in America. Here in America, you know, we hear people say all the time, well, here in America, everybody's heard the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, if you believe that, go with us out on the streets. You're going to find out really quick. There's a lot of people who have no idea why we're here tonight, have no idea what's going on here tonight. I've been working with a pastor in New Orleans, planting a church in New Orleans, and I'm going to tell you that pastor down there, you know, we went out, spent almost a week down there in New Orleans. I ran into 2 people that even knew anything at all about Jesus. 2 people in the entire city of New Orleans. As far as we could tell, there's 2 fundamental independent Baptist churches in the entire city. We're talking about in America today. And we cut our TV on and we say, why are we seeing shootings? Why are we seeing homosexual marriage? I was up in Delaware. I couldn't figure out what bathroom to go to. Why are we seeing these things in America today? Because America needs the Word of God. America needs the gospel today. Somebody has to go out and take the Word of God to them today. We say, well, what should we be doing as a church? What should the church do about it? Well, over in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Word of God tells us, Jesus says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Son of Man has come to seek. That word seek means to go out and find, to go out and hunt, to go look for. You know, today we've gotten a routine in our churches today of sitting inside our 4 walls while the world around us is dying and going to hell. Somebody needs to go out and tell somebody here in America about Jesus. Somebody needs to go out and spread the gospel today. Luke chapter 14, 23. And the Lord said unto the servants, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You know, today, somebody needs to go to the highway. Somebody needs to go to hedges and tell somebody about Jesus. You know, we sit inside our 4 walls and we pray all the time for revival here in America. And I tell you, I know we need revival. The church needs revival today. But I'm going to tell you today that we can have revival, and it ain't necessarily going to reach the people out here. Somebody's got to go out and reach those people. Everybody ain't going to come to church. We've got to take the Word of God to them. We've got to take the Word of God. Tell somebody about Jesus. So pray for us that we can go out and tell somebody about Jesus, about this one that died for us, that we can see souls saved here in America. You know, Lord's been good. I thank the Lord in the last 3-4 years we've had over 400 souls saved in our ministry, not bragging on us, bragging on God and what the Lord's been doing. But I'm going to tell you, America today, we need missionaries here in America. You know, I thank the Lord we've had the opportunity to send missionaries all around the globe. But America needs missionaries today. America needs the gospel. We need to spread the gospel. And last but not least, you say, well, why should I care? Proverbs 28 and 27 says, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Listen now, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. How many times have we been like that priest and that Levite? We could have helped, oh, but it ain't my problem. It's not my problem. We just turned our back. Today, how many blessings have we missed out on from God? Because we ain't been willing to help that one in need. We ain't been willing to help that one today that needed to hear about Jesus. Today, I challenge every one of us, let's go out and tell somebody about Jesus. You know, we're living in a day where it seems like everybody's ashamed of Jesus. People say, well, I ain't ashamed of him. I ain't ashamed of Jesus. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you told somebody about him outside these four walls? I believe today if you ain't ashamed of Jesus, you'll go tell somebody about him. You won't be ashamed to mention his name when we get outside of church. I remember a time in my life when I was a lost church member sitting there, and I was ashamed to mention Jesus' name outside the church walls. Let me tell you, once I got saved, I want to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. Today, let's go out and spread the gospel. So just pray for us, pray for our family as we go to these different places that we can spread the gospel. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And the next time you run into that one out there that's maybe homeless or maybe they need help, you know, instead of saying, well, maybe they just go get a job, maybe they need to think about their situation. Like I say, that person that's addicted to drugs, that's a sickness. That's a sickness. That alcoholic, that's a sickness. They can't go work. They can't get a job on meth. They can't hold down a job. I know people sleeping in the woods right now. I know a group of people. There's four people living together. Hardest workers you could ever run into. But they're alcoholics. They work for 2 or 3 days, get enough money to buy alcohol, and then they party for 2 or 3 days. So today, we don't know their situation. That one out there, they may have a mental problem to where they can't hold down a job. And it may be that maybe they did have a job and they just lost everything they had. We need compassion. We need love for others today. It seems like that's one of the things that we've lost is compassion. I want to have compassion. I want to have love. Jude 22, and some have compassion making a difference. I want to be that one, have that compassion. I want to tell somebody about Jesus and what he done for me. Don't care who they are, where they come from, what they look like. I want to tell them what Jesus can do for them. So let's appreciate you. Thank you for the opportunity.